Text of Mayor Derek Dobies on the hotline after busy one last night.
Yeah, it sure was. We went to near 10 o'clock, so, and I think the county commission meeting went even longer last night. By the time I got home and tried to tune it, was still going on.
Yeah, they went till midnight.
Wow. Yeah, I stayed up till about 2 in the morning last night replaying some of the parts of that meeting, especially dealing with the resolution declaring racism as a public health crisis. And
so the council adopted that resolution. Talk about that. Was that unanimous?
Yeah, it was unanimous. I think, you know, in the city, we interact and engage with, you know, we have a very diverse city here. We interact and engage with the large breadth of different populations, and we have a large Black community here who has been organizing, has been working collaboratively with the city. And I think in light of the George Floyd protests, in light of some of the Black Lives Matter murals and other work and these cultivation of these policy decisions and other actions that they want to see taken, I think the first step is identifying the problem that racism still permeates a lot of the structures and institutions that we have here in Jackson, but all across America, and starting to work in earnest to eradicate that from the way we do business and conduct ourselves, and being intentional about that. And I think that's why the city council voted unanimously last night to pass a resolution through the city to declare racism a public health crisis, and set out some of the initial steps that we're going to take to combat racism, implicit bias, and within our city systems here in our community.
What can you get in any of that? What steps will you be taking?
Yeah, so we're gonna do a council's gonna do a review of our ordinances and policies and put it through a lens of racial equity. We also have tasked the Human Relations Commission with doing so on a establishing a framework in which they can continue to do so on a frequent basis and provide reports back up to the city. There's been a number of people calling for us to do this and to consider a social equity lens when we pass policies and work on different programs and pass our budget. So I think that's well and good. We also,
Derek, are there policies that could be looked at as racist?
No, I don't think the policies themselves are emphatically racist, but I think that when you start to think of some of the past funding decisions, some of the past steps that council has taken, some of the ways in which investments have been made, I think you can see over the course of decades, mm-hmm. that those decisions have disproportionately impacted the African American community that we have here and elsewhere. I mean, it's not too long ago that the city was allowing deed restrictions in the community for, you know, whites only, and that, you know, if you're wondering why a large population of African Americans are concentrated on the South Side and in the First Ward, you know, it's policy decisions. It's the policy decisions of you know, allowing some of those deed restrictions of FHA redlining policies that where black people couldn't get mortgages in certain areas of town.
So you're really talking about redlining here.
Well, not only redlining is probably the most clear and talked about example of how policies can affect certain populations. But you know, as County Commissioner Daniel Mahoney talked about last night, back in 71, there were stipulations put in place by the county board saying that black people couldn't be full voting members of their boards and commissions, and that black people weren't going to get paid. So I think that, you know, that those are more emphatic policies. I think what we see now is some of the more the effects of some of the more maybe implicit bias that's not necessarily explicit racism, but more implicit. And how that permeates some of the decisions that get made in our community. And that's why one of the steps coming out of our resolution last night was to have our leadership and our staff go through racial equity training. A number of our leadership at our police department do. A number of our city staff have already gone through that back when Pat Birch was here. And we've taken a great number of steps to already work on this issue. And I have to say that the city police department, with both Chief Hines and Chief Hitt, have done an extraordinary job in being proactive. And none of this is about, you know, attacking our police officers in Jackson. You know, they're partners. You know, they're part of a team that we have here at the city, and collectively we've all said that, you know, this is an issue that we want to work on, and this is something that we think that through policy and through training and through collaboration, you know, we can really lead not only in Jackson County but across the rest of the state, and the different steps that we can take to combat racism at a time when you know, people are being murdered and families are being torn apart, and you know, some of the things that don't make the news, you know, generations of young kids are being affected by the impacts of some of this both explicit and implicit racism that permeates some of our systems that we have here.
So I can't recall, maybe you can, a major incident that we've had in the city, have we?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's, you know, kudos to the JPD. I think they've done, as I said, extraordinary work in already doing some of these trainings and already reviewing our use of force policy, doing things that, across the country, we see protesters demanding departments to do in terms of reforming their policing policies, you know, banning chokeholds, requiring a duty to intervene, intervention when they see other officers doing something wrong. Those are already things that that are in our use of force policy. And you know, a large number of the demands coming from the It Can't Wait campaign, those are already things that that we do, and we've done not because of a reaction to any sort of incident, but because they're the right thing to do, and we want to be proactive so that those problems don't happen here. So I think, you know, that's been one of the reasons why it's kind of worked here. Another reason is, you know, with Elmer and the JPD participating in ALPAC meetings, you know, a community-driven group to improve relations between the community and the police. I mean, having that conversation and that level of understanding both ways, I think, is critical to having a healthy and safe community on both sides. So I say that and compliment to JPD and to the leadership and the officers that are, you know, out patrolling their streets. But I do think that there's things that we can do to continue that proactive work that we started at JPD and elsewhere throughout City Hall. We want to be partners with the community. We want to engage in this work, and you know, we hope that Commissioner Darius Williams and Danny Mahoney continue to take that fight on at the county.
Talk about the water rate increase, which is not has nothing to do with the lead water pipe replacement.
Yeah, it doesn't have anything to do with the to some extent it will. That's helping us to repair our water lines, our water mains, and things of that nature. You know, water and sewer rates went up 6% and 3% respectively. So those are much more modest increases than were originally proposed. I think that goes to speaks to the work that Jonathan did working with city staff to drive down that cost and find ways to be more efficient, but also speaks to the work that city council did late last year to eliminate the regressive fee structure that cut big breaks for high water users and kind of loaded the back of the cost of the water system onto the residents. So we got rid of that, so all water costs the same. I think we can further drive down the cost by taking a look at what we can do with that rate structure in the future. I'm working with our contacts up in Lansing to see what we can do to get a water affordability surcharge so that those that have need help struggling to keep their water on can get that sort of help. Right now we have about $125,000 appropriated through our CDBG CV funds to help keep people's water bills on, and just signed the contract or contracting agreement with Community Action Agency yesterday, so that's going to be available to city residents. So I that's going up. The reason it's going up is because we're continuing to replace our aging infrastructure. We're still digging out water lines that are made of wood, lines that have just are in need of such bad repair that before something catastrophic happens. So those increases go to pay for a lot of the infrastructure improvement projects that we have underway. When we go through and complete a road and fix a road, and we have more money going into fixing our major and local streets this year than we have for the past three fiscal years. So with that increased work in fixing our streets, when we go through and fix a street, we want to it makes sense to fix the utilities and all the infrastructure under the street too, so that we're not going back onto a new street and cutting into it to fix right. a burst water main. So that's a large reason you see the city council kind of incrementally bumping that up so that we can continue to take on these projects before our infrastructure breaks. And then we got a big problem of not being able to pay for it. So it's a long-term maintenance and replacement and infrastructure plan.
Is there a quick way to describe this special assessment payment to get it on your tax bill and away from a separate payment?
I think convenience, I guess. If I were to be real quick about it, we tabled it or postponed it, passed it first reading, voted it through to second reading, okay, with the caveat that we get a financial snapshot from the city treasurer, finance director, and assessor last night.
Okay.
So I think that more will be forthcoming on that.
So you'll bring that back up.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies. Derek, thanks for the visit. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Take care. Have a great day.
Have a good one.